2 Thessalonians chapter 3, if you'd like to turn there, please. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Also on the 8th of July, just maybe put it in your calendars, the Christian Science Organization from Auckland is going to be here and do a presentation for us on creationism. So that'll be the 8th of July in the evening service at 5 o'clock. So please plan on that. And I just thank the Lord. You know, I hate being out on my pulpit, but I thank the Lord that when I have to be, that there's so many men in the church I can ask to preach for me. And that's a blessing, you know, that we have men in the church that are willing and able to fill the pulpit and preach the Word of God. And I appreciate all the men who have done that over the past couple of weeks with youth camp and the flood and my trip to Oz. It's been a real blessing to my heart. And I just want to thank those gentlemen. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 this morning, we're going to look at verses 3 through 5 together. The Bible tells us here in verse 3, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." So the Lord direct your hearts. Let's pray. I pray, Lord, that you'd use your word in our lives this morning. Lord, to teach us, to grow us, to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. We just give you this service, Lord. May we open our hearts now, push aside all the distractions, and just focus on hearing from you, that we might strive, Lord, again, to be more like you. So thy will be done. We'll give you this service in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that first part of the passage says a lot, doesn't it? The Lord is faithful. If it wasn't for the faithfulness of God, we'd have no hope. If it wasn't for the faithfulness of God, we couldn't get forgiveness every day that we live. You know, the Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And we could talk about His faithfulness all day. You know, the Bible says, "They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness," in Lamentations chapter 3. We serve a God that is faithful. Everything that God does, He does it faithfully. He answers prayer. He guides us through our trials. He helps us through temptation. The Bible says God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. The faithfulness of God is one of His most beautiful traits. And we are so blessed to serve a God that is faithful. And our faithful God has promised to do some things in our life, has promised to direct our hearts in a certain way. And one of the things He's promised to do is to establish us. Notice it says there in verse 3, "The Lord is faithful who shall establish you." That word "establish" means to establish. It means to ground. And if we will let Him, if we will yield to Him, if we will listen to His Word, God will establish us. His desire is that every believer in Jesus Christ be grounded in His Word. And you know, there's too many Christians today who aren't. That's not God's fault. God is ready and willing and able to establish every Christian, but it's not an automatic. We don't just say, "Lord, I pray that right now You'll ground me in Your Word." No, He wants us to study. He wants us to do our part. And to study His Word, to read His Word, to memorize His Word, to meditate in His Word. It falls on us to put into practice implementing the Word of God in our lives. And then He promises, as our faithful God, to establish us. The Bible tells us in Jude 24, "Unto Him that is able to keep you from falling." We hear all the time about Christians falling. That's because they weren't established in the Word of God. And if you look at Colossians chapter 2, the Bible even commands us that we allow God to establish us. Colossians chapter 2, look at verse 6 if you would, where God promises that if we will do what we need to do, we can be grounded and established in His Word, in the faith. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, the Bible says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." So He says you've received Christ. And if you're born again this morning, that's happened for you. You have received Christ. Paul says you've received Christ. Now I want you to walk in Christ. Those are two different things. I want you to walk Him. I want you to be rooted and built up in Him. I want you to be established in the faith. And God, as our faithful God, has promised that He will direct our hearts in that way. If we will make His Word part of our lives. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So the Lord has promised to direct us, to establish us. Also back in our passage, 2 Thessalonians 3, He says not only He will establish us, it says, and He will keep you from evil. Now a lot of Christians don't understand this, because they struggle with sin so much. And they wonder, well, why doesn't God keep me from this sin? So it's not that God doesn't have the power to keep us from sin. It's that we're not relying on Him when the sin comes. You see, if we're walking in the flesh and we're relying upon ourselves, then it's not God that's doing it. But if we're walking in the Spirit and we're relying upon the Lord, He's promised to keep us from evil. So it always comes down to, who am I leaning on? Who am I trusting? Who am I walking in? God promises, and He's faithful, He always fulfills His promises, to keep us from evil. 2 Peter 2:9 says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. God knows how to deliver us, to protect us from temptation. It's not that God doesn't know how, it's that we don't trust Him. We don't lean on Him when those times come. Which again goes back to that verse, 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. There's always a way to escape, but it's through the Lord. So our God, who's faithful, has promised to direct our hearts that we might be established in the faith. He wants us to be mature in the faith. You know, read in Hebrews chapter 5 sometimes about how the writer there is having to rebuke Christians because they're still drinking milk, and God wants them to graduate to the meat of the Word so that they can discern both good and evil. That's what He wants for us, to be established. Also, He promises to direct our hearts to keep us from evil. Thirdly, this morning, if you look back in our passage, verse 4, 2 Thessalonians 3:4, and we have confidence in the Lord touching you that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. So what's the difference between do and will do? Will do is now, and will do is in the future. And for us as Christians, it would be nice if we could get to the point where, okay, today I obeyed God, that means the rest of the days I'm going to obey God. But it doesn't work like that, does it? Every day is its own day. And as Paul said, I need to die daily. I need to give myself to the Lord every day. I need to be crucified every day. If I serve the Lord today, that doesn't mean I'm going to serve the Lord tomorrow. And that's what Paul meant when he said, I have confidence that you both do and will do. Do what? The things which we command you. In other words, God directs our hearts toward obedience. To be obedient Christians. And how can we do that? Well, if you go to 2 Peter chapter 1, the Bible teaches that we have God's nature now because God lives in us. 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 4. A lot of Christians will not utilize this nature, but if you're a born-again Christian this morning, you have the nature of Almighty God, the Holy One, in you, in the person of the Holy Ghost. 2 Peter 1, look at verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The divine nature. Think about that. Divine, talking about God. We have the nature of God dwelling in us, in the person of the Holy Ghost. So every time that we sin, every time that we disobey, it's not God that's directing us. It's the old man that's directing us. Because God will always direct us toward obedience, and promises to do that as our faithful God. So again, who are we yielded to? Who's controlling our lives? Who are we relying upon? Because God promises to direct our hearts in these directions. And what a blessing that He will do this for us. That He saves us, but then He guides us and helps us along the way. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it, the Bible says. So He's promised to direct our hearts through getting grounded or established in the faith. He's promised to direct our hearts through protection from evil and temptation. He's promised to direct our hearts toward obedience. But notice it says in verse 5, "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God." That's a beautiful one. God has promised to direct our hearts into the love of God. Say, why does He just mention love? Why not all the other Christian character traits? Because the Bible teaches that the love is the embodiment of the commandments. He even words it that way in Galatians 5. Turn over there if you would. Galatians 5:14. He tells us that love is the fulfillment of the law. Because the truth is, if we love someone, as Robin said on the video, love is action. If we love someone, then we're going to do all the right things for that person. We're going to treat them well. We're going to be kind to them. We're going to do all the right things. So love is the embodiment of the commandments. Look at Galatians 5:14. "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." There it is. If we'll love others as ourselves, God says the rest will take care of itself, basically. And God has promised, as our faithful God, to direct our hearts into the love of God. How does He do that? Well, of course, it's His Word that directs us, as we mentioned. "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We need to be in the Word. We need to be allowing the Word with the application from the Holy Spirit to direct our hearts. And if we will, God promises to direct our hearts into the love of God. You know, the Bible says, "This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments." And so, it's fascinating that God says love is the embodiment of all commandments dealing with interaction between each other. But He also says that true love toward Him is obeying all the commandments. "This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments." 1 John 5:3. So God has promised, as our faithful God, to direct our hearts into His love. But by that, it doesn't just mean we're all hugging each other. It means that we are obeying His Word in relation to how we interact with Him and how we interact with each other. He's promised to direct us, to guide us in this way. And then He says, lastly, in verse 5, "into the patient waiting for Christ." God has promised to direct our hearts into the patient waiting for Christ. If we are truly leaning on God, God says He will direct us into expecting and living for the return of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Philippians 3:20, "Our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Now Titus 2:13 says, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." We serve an amazing God. And He promises to direct our hearts in these areas that we mentioned this morning, in establishing us and protecting us from evil, in obedience, in the love of God, and in the waiting for Christ. But it comes down to us. Are we going to allow Him to direct our hearts? Go to Galatians 5, if you would. If you're still there, that's fine, because we were just there earlier. But notice verse 16. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Look at verse 25. "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." So, well, how does God direct our hearts? Right there. As we talked about in Sunday school, the day we got saved, God the Holy Ghost indwelt us and lives in us. We are His temple. And He's there to guide us, to convict us, to lead us, to protect us. But we have to yield to Him. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. So it does fall on us. God's promised to do all those things, but we have to be the one that yields. As it says in Romans 6, yield yourselves unto God, Romans 6:13, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. We have to yield. We have to give ourselves to the Lord every day. Lord, I'm yours today. Please direct my heart. Please direct my life in the way you want it to go. And you know what? God will. Because God keeps His promises. He's faithful. But it always falls on us to yield so that He might control our lives. It's beautiful what God has done. You know, when we get saved, He not only gives us a new destiny, which is heaven, of course, instead of hell, but then He says, and I'm going to go with you the rest of the way. As He said in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He says, I'm not only going to save you from hell and give you a new life, I'm going to walk with you the rest of the way. And that's beautiful. I'm going to help you every step of the way. As Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus said, I'll be with you. And He says, I'm going to leave and I'm going to send the Holy Ghost in my place. And He's going to indwell you, and He's going to be there for you, and He's going to guide you, He's going to convict you, He's going to comfort you, He's going to help you. The person of the Holy Ghost, God in the person of the Holy Ghost, indwells us and promises to direct our hearts. But we got to allow Him to do it. God gave us a free will, didn't He? The Garden of Eden teaches us that. And we have a choice to make as Christians every day. It's not just a weekly, monthly, or yearly choice. It's a daily, hourly choice to allow God to direct our hearts, to allow the Holy Spirit to run our lives, or to do it the other way, which is the old man. And every day, it's a battle. Paul admits this in Romans 7. He battled with it every day himself. But every day, he said, I have to die today. I have to die today. Every day. I've got to yield myself to the Lord. I've got to die to self and let God direct. And our God is faithful. So it's not that He can't do it. It's that we don't allow Him to, because we aren't yielding to Him. But if we will yield to Him, what a beautiful set of promises He's given us in this passage. I will direct your hearts to be established in my faith. I will direct your hearts to be protected from evil. I'll direct your hearts to be obedient to me, to walk in my commandments. I'll direct your hearts into the love of God for others and God. And I'll direct your hearts into the patient waiting for Jesus. God's promised to direct us each step of the way. As we, I think it was two Sundays ago, or maybe it was last Sunday. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. We serve a wonderful God, amen, who loves us and who is faithful. So let's let Him direct us to direct our hearts. These are the directions He wants to direct us, but we've got to let Him. And if we will let Him, He will do it. Because He's faithful, He's powerful, He can do anything.